Londa, why don't you come on up? For those that don't know, Londa's the director of the healing ministries here at Voice. And just as simple as it gets, she's impacted a lot of people with her walk with God. I, on a personal level, have rarely found anybody in my life that loves God more than she does. And she's always setting a bar and a standard for me to run after in going for God in a private, hidden place. And that's what it's all about in this season. And so we're going to let her share for a few minutes, and then we're going to go right into a time of healing ministry and praying for people. And so why don't you stretch your hand towards her tonight? Father, would you baptize Londa in your fiery presence right now? Just baptize her afresh in the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill this room with your presence. We just believe, God, tonight that you're going to do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was awesome worship. Man, that was over the top. And I am so humbled tonight, I just can hardly stand before you. And that last song about we have an awesome God, we so do. And that's the first thing I'm thankful for this season. It's an awesome God. He is so faithful. He's so good. I heard the Lord, if you look at your page, does everybody have paper, the notes? Anybody that doesn't have them? Okay, awesome. They did a good job. I was with the Lord one day, and I heard him say, for every heart there's a purpose, and for every purpose there's a way. For I am the fulfillment of that person's purpose. Sorry. I am the fulfillment of that purpose. I alone can and will fulfill the need in your heart to have value and importance. So many of us search our life for importance, for meaning, for to be valued, to be somebody, to be recognized, to be considered even, to be cherished. That was one of my big areas of woundedness, is I never, ever felt cherished. I felt, I knew that my, you know, love, I knew that my parents loved me, but I never felt cherished, that like you're special, it's just me and, you know, you, that you're the one I'm looking at right now. That kind of feeling. We all have those wounded areas in our life, and we struggle then to break out of that and find importance. And so by the time we reach adulthood, most of us are looking in the wrong places for importance. We're trying to fill that ache in our heart. We just want to be valued in some way by somebody. So we try and fill it, and so we get ourselves into addictions. We get ourselves into hobbies that consume us. Hobbies are good. But I was into one that kind of consumed my attention and time, and I had little time for the Lord. And we'll find something to make us feel good, to make us, you know, it's about satisfying an ache in your heart that only the Lord can satisfy. And so we try reaching out. So if you go to number one there, it says at the very end, we go to great lengths to find our purpose in a world that is tangled maze of confusion. There's a twisted mess of information coming at us from every angle of reasoning imaginable. The media fills us with ways in which to fill those needs in our heart. The media and other, you know, it can even be the spirit of religion will tell you how to fill those places. And only the Lord can do that. But that maze of it's a tangled mess of misinformation that will not satisfy. It cannot satisfy, because you were created, that place was created for the Lord alone to fill. In John 17, 20 through 23, Jesus is talking, and he's praying in this chapter. He's praying, and first he's praying for him and himself. And then he's praying for him and the disciples to be one. And then, I love it, in verse 20, he shifts. And he's praying for all of those that learn and believe because of the disciples' words. And that's us. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That's a pretty profound statement right there. Jesus is saying that Papa loves us just as he loved the Son. You can't get any more value than that. You can't get any more value than that. That right there gives you that complete, total value that should satisfy every need in your heart. You need to let the Lord in there and let him start replacing those things that you filled it with him, with his love, because his love for you is just as profound, just as complete, and just as consuming as it was for his very son, Jesus. And we are one. So he's saying right here, we're one with him. We have his Holy Spirit, right? We're, you know, the Bible says that a lot of translations translate it that that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Really, that word is sanctuary. And in the temple, the sanctuary was the Holy of Holies. And only if the priest came into that sanctuary and he wasn't right with the Lord, he would be dead the minute he crossed the threshold. But we are the sanctuary now. We're the sanctuary. The Holy Spirit is one with you. Same Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and he'll give life to your mortal bodies. You have a oneness with God you need to embrace. You can't know who you are until you embrace this oneness. You have to know that you are loved like his son, that you are cherished like his son. You have to know that he is one with you, that you are in unity. You have to walk in unity. You can't be rebellious and walk in unity with the Lord. You can't be disobedient. You can't, we're not perfect like Jesus was, but we walk in the effort of unity. We walk in the effort of being obedient. We walk in the effort of loving him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, with all that we are. We walk in the effort of it. And as long as we keep saying yes and pressing into that, the more he's going to come in there and clean those hard places out and soften them. And we need to be moldable and teachable. God's going to get in there and that oneness grows. That oneness becomes more and more one. It's refining process that happens. If you look at that, this part right here where he says in 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given them. You know, if you go back to Genesis, we're created in the image of God. And then we kind of mess things up. And Jesus is coming back and he's restoring that unity between us and the Father. Because it's through him that we have that. And he's sharing his glory with us. I mean, how humble is God that he would do that? How humble is Jesus? How many of us would do that, you know? In number two there, it says, we are meant to be a manifest expression of the glory of Jesus. Who is the manifest expression of God, the Father? We're meant to be Jesus. We're meant to manifest his presence in such a way that when people look at you, they see Jesus on you. Something has to change. You can't look like the world and be in unity with Jesus. You can't be going out and living it up during the week and come in on Sunday and expect to be in unity with the Lord. It's not going to happen. We need to make a decision and choose righteousness. And when we do that, when we are walking in that unity, we manifest the very presence of Jesus. That means that in all that he is, in his character, you're an expression of his character. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's peace and joy and love and all those good things. That if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you're a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the glory of God. He's so full of good. You know, the word says that he is love. He is love. If you're not manifesting love, there's a problem. If you're full of anger, hatred, judgment, being judgmental, if you're aggressive and controlling, you know, there's a problem. Your unity is off a little somewhere. You need to let the Lord get in there and soften those parts of you and let love, because he is, and you're meant to be a carrier of love. Love is the most powerful weapon that we have. It's the most, it restores and heals. It gives life. You can't walk close to the Lord without loving. And seriously, that was an issue with me. I didn't know how to do that very well. Could talk about it, and I seemed loving because I'm nice and sweet, you know, I'm quiet. Most of that's because I'm a little bit of an introvert. And so people, you know, think you're loving, but in my heart, I so didn't know how to really do that. I mean, it just wasn't there. It was kind of empty. And boy, you know, you let God in there. And that love is a consuming fire. And it burns up the things that are not, shouldn't be there. It burns it up. You need to be willing to let it go. You know, we need to let it go. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we with all unveiled face, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." It's a process. Mind renewal is a process by which the veil is lifted off of our face and we see more and more through the eyes of righteousness. It's a process. Boy, I so often pray, "Lord, just please zap me. You know, take those brain cells and rework them in an instant. I would just be so happy." You know, you could even send me a few texts or email or Facebook me. Do something to give me that instant mind renewal. Because, you know, truly, I'd like my hamburger now. But it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't work that way. Because in the process, we mature. Maturing is a process. And it's as we go through the process, we learn things about ourselves and we learn things about God that is precious and you don't want to miss. It's like watching your children. If you have children and you watch them grow through the years, you don't want to miss it. If you're a parent that's absent or you're not watching, I encourage you to take a look at your children. They're precious and their growth process is precious. The same way the Father looks at us as we go through the growth process, he's nurturing us. He's right there feeding into us and making, you know, trying to guide and direct us in ways in which we will grow into who he says we are. When you step into who you know you are, you know you have value. You're not questioning the value anymore. That's a moot point. When you understand how much God loves you, when you get it, when it gets in here, it's like your value is, you don't question it. But that in itself is a process. Truth and revelation are revealed to us in measure. And to the degree we invest in time and the presence of the Lord seeking relationship, he shares his heart and secrets with us. It takes time, takes sacrifice, takes investment, takes effort, and the reward far outweighs anything that we put into it. Far outweighs. There is no contest. It's hard. I've been radical before God. I invite him to humble me. I invite him to expose me. And I don't even care if he does it publicly. Whatever it takes to get me into that place where I am in complete unity. I want to walk like Enoch. I want to walk like that. Can't behold him enough. And my pride or my selfishness or my isn't worth it. I don't want it. You know, I found even today, I have a whole list. You would not believe it. If you saw my list of why I shouldn't be up here, it's long. And I have this list. And so I am, the mind renewal it has taken to get me up here has like been effort on my part. And so I think I've gotten all the, you know, you think you got it all. You think I can't go to any memories. I can't, you know, I can't find any more woundedness. And then it's like, God, what is it that's still tripping me up here? Why do I think that, like today, okay, this message has been hard coming for me, and it usually is. And every week I think I can just call Dave. You know, I could call him at 5 till 6 and say, hey, you're on, because I don't have anything. I could do that. And I'm like, why do I think that? That shouldn't even be a okay thing. I mean, that shouldn't even enter my mind that I would have to do that. But why do I keep going there? And I found that I got the woundedness for why I shouldn't be up here, but I was using that as a crutch. It's like a safety net or a crutch. I can use those excuses to get me off the hook. If it doesn't work out, I can do that. And I had to give up my crutch. You know, even there, I don't want to be out of unity with the Lord. I want no excuse to do that which he's called me to do. To not do that which he's called me to do. I don't want an excuse to be able to get out of it just because it's uncomfortable or just because I think I don't have a word or I think, you know, whatever I think that's not lining up with him, I don't want it. So God, expose me, you know, get it gone. Because I want to be all that he's called me to be. Not for my sake, but for his glory. Because what better thing are we called to than to glorify the Father and glorify the Son? What, you know, that's where our value is. In John 14:10-17, it says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Even Jesus didn't do it on his own. He didn't do it with his own motive. He didn't have his own agenda. He only did what he saw the Father doing. Only what he was asked to do. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Just like we're in him, we're one with him. We have this Holy Spirit and we're one. Same. It's the same. He did that for us. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. When you know and you're walking in that unity, the signs and wonders follow. Or things happen. Ministry happens. People get healed, delivered. Things happen because of that. Not only because of that. There's the gifts, too. And the gifts are given. The Spirit gives the gifts. And that does not depend on your relationship with the Lord. Because we've all seen people who walk in a mighty gift and then fall because their relationship has not been where it should be. Doesn't go the long haul. We don't want to do that. We want relationship first, and then gifting, then anointing, so that you can walk in it, walk it out, so that you're safe. The Lord will trust you with more. Does that make sense? Truly, number 12, verse 12, truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do. Greater works. That's what we're after. It's the time, it's the season for that. Because I go to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. This is because of unity. It's because you're one with him. It's because you're being obedient and walking in righteousness, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the purpose that we walk in that is to glorify him. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So here's the condition. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. If we do that, then we're going to walk in that place of being able to glorify him with signs and wonders. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is the Holy Spirit. And he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because the world does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. You need to know. You need to become very friendly with the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to listen to him. You need to learn to partner with him, to walk with him, to trust him, to be obedient to him. Because he's going to guide you in truth. Number four there, in all Jesus did, his only motive was to do the will of his Father. We must have the same humble attitude as we live to glorify the Lord and not ourselves. You know, the motive, when I first got into ministry, motive was an issue. Because I had never been in ministry before, ever. You know, and I get into it late in life. And it's like, suddenly, I'm starting to minister to people. And it feels good. And I'm thinking, you know, this is really cool. And so my motive for relationship with the Lord, because I knew that was the way to increase, was a little off. Because I was looking for significance the wrong way. I was looking to bring attention to me. I wanted people to think that I had value for the first time in my life. I mean, my husband's always valued me and my family, but I never believed it because of my woundedness. And so I never trusted it, and I didn't believe it. And so I was looking for this to fulfill that need for value. And the Lord's, you know, he's not going to let you go there very long. And fortunately, I got it. In reading the scriptures, I began to see how my motives were twisted. And God really convicted me. Just think of yourself. Every time you do something for the Lord, you've got demonic in the heaven, you know, in the above you. And their goal is to get you to glorify them yourself, so that glory doesn't go to the Lord then. So they're scrambling to find a way to get you to pervert your gift or do something in order to misdirect that glory that belongs to the Lord. That's, you know, that like would crush me. I know I do it sometimes, you know, I know I'm not perfect, but the thought of it just turns my stomach. And it's like, so God, whatever it takes, I invite you. You know, whatever it takes to get me into a place where I minister out of purity and I minister out of your heart and I'm focused on you and with humility, humble me. That's I'm okay with that. Better me get a little, you know, humble pie than have glory go to the demonic or to Satan, you know, or to me. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. We should always be in a place of remembering that we have no glory of our own, and how humbling it is to think that Jesus would share his with us. It belongs to him anyway. We're just giving back to him what he already owns. As we are transformed in his image, we are being renewed into who we were created to be. As you behold that mirror and you lift that veil gets lifted, and you begin to see who you were created to be. It's an awesome thing, an awesome transformation that begins to happen, because you realize that more and more you look like Jesus. The enemy lies to us about our purpose and value. He is pure deception, but his deception falls to the ground the minute we lift the veil a little higher and let the light of Christ come in and show us who we really look like. You need to see who you really look like. It's in you. You're created in the image of God. You can't not look like him unless you choose. So we have to be careful what we're choosing. We need to choose to look like him. Get radical. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, I want to look like you. Because that's who I'm created to be. He uses your individuality, your uniqueness. He loves that. He created that. Each of us will manifest Christ in a little bit different way. And it's all beautiful. And it all looks like him. In Luke 17:21 says, talking about, he's talking to the Pharisees right here. And they're asking for a sign or the kingdom. And he says, nor will they say, look, here it is. Or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. We carry. It's because there were disciples around there. And Jesus was there. He carries the kingdom in him. So the kingdom was in, and the same with us. We carry the kingdom of God in us. And so wherever you are, you are carrying the kingdom, and it changes the atmosphere. You may not be aware of it, but it changes the atmosphere. Better, you know. And so the minute you're lifting that veil a little higher, all the deception of the enemy has to fall to the ground. Light always outshines the darkness. You can't have dark when there's light. They just don't mix. We are one with the one who is the light of the world. So we carry that light, the light of Christ. He tells us not to hide it under a bushel, you know, not to be the light. You have to know you're the light. You have to know glory shines. It shines. I've seen it in a vision. The Lord, it shines. It's brilliant. You can't stand to look at it if you get too close to it, because it's so pure. So pure, and we're not there yet. Their darkness can't even come close. And we're one with that. We're one. So you embrace that. Dwell on it. Get in the Word and look it up. Let go of those things that keep you from being one with the Lord. I don't care if it's addictions, pornography, if it's anger, if it's resentment, if it's jealousy, if it's bitterness. It doesn't matter. Let it go. Keeps you from knowing who you are. Keeps you from shining with the glory of God. In James 5:10-18, is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for the one so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of the righteous man can accomplish much. You need to walk in righteousness. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured out rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The point here is that Elijah was no different than we are in nature. He's pointing out that Elijah walked in great signs and wonders, and he walked so close to the Lord that he was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot, kind of like Enoch. You know, Enoch walked with God and was no more. I want that. Wouldn't it be awesome to go to heaven in a fiery chariot, you know, chariot? But we have the same, we're just like Elijah. He wasn't different than us, except we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So we've got one up on him, you know? So Elijah was a righteous man, though, and he prayed earnestly before the Lord, and the Lord honored his prayer. That's what the point is here. The Lord's going to honor the prayer of the righteous. It's powerful. Your prayers are powerful. You have to know that they move the Spirit. When you're walking in righteousness, your prayers move the Spirit. It can't help it. He gets excited when he sees somebody that knows who they are and they're walking in righteousness and unity with the Lord. And he's like, oh, hey, you know, let's wake up here. We're going to honor this one. Because this will glorify the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's all about glorifying the Father and the Son. So we need to partner with him in that. We can look at any person in the scriptures and know that we have the same opportunity to walk in power for the sake of the kingdom and to the glory of God. We must be willing to allow the Lord to bring us into a place of unity with which is righteousness with him. In that place, our prayers carry much importance with the Lord because we'll be asking for things that is on his heart. You're not going to have selfish prayers. You're going to be asking because the more you are in unity, the more you are expression of his nature, the more you're automatically going to be asking, praying for what he's wanting to pray about. You know, it's like, do you get that, how it all flows together in unity and love brings purpose and value, brings glory, brings, it's like this big circle of love that goes around. What goes around comes around. That's true in the kingdom too. So I just want to invite you. I feel like tonight, invite the healing team. They'll be coming up too, but I invite the worship team to come up. And I really feel like tonight that this is going to be a night of deliverance. I just really felt the Lord's heart on that, that he wants to deliver from oppression is a huge thing. You know, oppression covers a lot of areas, but just that we're oppressed in many ways, and that covers a broad range. But I really feel like deliverance is on the heart of the Lord tonight. And I just invite you, if you aren't walking in unity, I invite you to give up those things that are keeping you from it. You know, your pride isn't worth it. It's so not worth it. You know, you got to be willing to go low and to let the Lord strip you of pride. Because when you're free of it, it's like such a relief. You don't have to feed it anymore. Pride is something you have to feed. You're always feeding it. You're always trying to make yourself feel good. And when you feel good, you don't have to do it anymore, you know. But you feel good for a different reason. So I invite you to think, search your heart right now. And I ask you to stand. Just invite you to stand and begin to search your heart. I'm just going to pray over you. I'm going to ask the Lord to expose to you those things that are hindering your walk with him, that are keeping you from moving forward. All of us want to be all that we can in who Jesus says we are. We all want to excel in the Spirit. We all want to be that voice, that hand, that person that touches another person and changes a life. And there's no reason, because you all have the same heart, same spirit like Elijah. No difference. Father, I bless this night. God, I bless every person here. And I ask that you raise up a spirit of truth right now in the house. That truth begin to work on our hearts, God, and expose the lies. I ask that just a spirit of conviction come upon us. God, that you just convict us. Personally, I invite you to convict me of any way in which I am not walking with you. Father, I ask that you help us to pull down the strongholds. I ask that you expose our hearts. Help us to be willing to give up the things that hinder. God, and if there's anyone in the house that has illness, physical illness, God, I just ask that you begin to touch them. And I just invite you to begin coming forward. Anything that you want healing for, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical, the Lord's all about that. I invite the healing team to come up. This, you know what? This is a night of breakthrough. I really feel it. The Lord's wanting to break through some walls, hindrances. They got to come down. There's not a place for them in the kingdom.
I also just saw a picture of the Lord taking some people and dunking them in a barrel. And I thought it was water, but it's actually, the Lord said, this is anointing oil. He was dunking your head right in the anointing oil. And I felt like he's going to transform some thought patterns. I don't know what that means fully, but it's right along with the theme of deliverance. And so if you feel stirred with that, feel free to come forward. We're just going to start praying and let the worship team just kind of worship. And we're going to just take a little bit of time here. And so just worship if you want to, or just come receive prayer.
I feel like there's somebody that has fear. I feel like the Lord's calling you to trust him, but there's a fear because you don't know what it's going to look like. So I just invite you to come up. It's already up. It's good. Jesus. I also feel like there's someone who feels not good enough. Like you feel like you're unworthy. You're not good enough. You can't do it. Lord's not going to talk to you or call you, or, you know, that spirit of lack or a poverty spirit. I just invite you to come forward. Jesus. Feel like there's somebody here that would like boldness, would like to be more bold in stepping out. I don't know if it's witnessing or what it is, into your calling or into a new job. I don't know but there's like a boldness that needs to happen. I just invite you to come. This is a breakthrough night. Be open to receiving, because God has something for you. He's like, I just really feel him, like, just trust me for the more. You know, he's got more for you tonight. He wants to give you the more. Get your mind out of the box and think outside the box. Let the box go. It's, you need to break down those walls.
Crown, take my breath, take my fear. It's only you and me here now. Just you.